Good morning. It is a Tuesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, the murder and manslaughter case against Derek Chauvin is now with the jury for deliberations in the trial of George Floyd. After nearly 6 hours of closing arguments and rebuttal Monday, two alternatives were dismissed, and the remaining jurors, seven women and five men, were led away by a deputy for deliberations on charges of second-degree unintentional murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter. Meanwhile, after the prosecutors and defense attorneys, Alan, presented their closing arguments, the defense moved for a mistrial because of media coverage of the case and comments by Representative Maxine Waters, Democrat from California. After joining protesters on Saturday in a Minneapolis suburb, Waters was asked what should happen if Chauvin isn't convicted on murder charges and replied, "We gotta stay on the street. We've got to get more confrontational." Meanwhile, Judge Peter Cahill acknowledged that Waters might have given the defense an argument to use for an appeal and scolded her for making, quote, disrespectful and abhorrent comments on the case, but did not feel that the issue rose to the level that would require a mistrial.
Well, they weren't going to declare a mistrial, that was for sure. This judge has not been above giving his comments about different things as times went on, sometimes to the great unhappiness of the people who made the comments or who were around. Look, David, this is going to be a very big challenge for law enforcement and everybody else. This time, they have the National Guard out in advance. There is going to be a certain amount of chaos. There already are large crowds surrounding the courthouse now, protesting the death of Floyd. And it is a moment when a lot of people are sitting on pins and needles and worrying about what's going to happen here. There are those who will not accept anything but guilty verdicts on all of the counts. There are those who will see, you know, any kind of conviction to be just. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, and when the verdict does come, there's been a lot of talk, including on the panel yesterday, of a militarized response, the National Guard, troops ready to anything that goes wrong. And yet, we had a lot of people get into the Capitol of the United States on January 6th with a lot less security.
Well, yeah, the situation on January 6th was nothing short of disgraceful. And we're finding out more and more about that. We're finding out about the Proud Boys. We were finding out about the pre-planning. All of that is going to continue. The FBI has made something like 400 arrests now. Getting convictions is going to be a little bit tougher, but some people will plead in order to get a relatively light sentence. But it is going to be a real trial for law and order that this many people were able to get into the Capitol and run amok and basically threaten the lives of several. Now, there was just a ruling that one police officer who died, a remarkable man, didn't die because the protesters put bear spray on him. But I have my doubts about that ruling, that's for sure. This was not an easy time, and it was fairly disgraceful that the Capitol Police weren't really ready for this.
Afghanistan, been reading a lot about it, and the fact that many analyzing the situation say President Biden has made a bold move by disagreeing with the generals to pull troops out of Afghanistan, signaling that will take place on a very symbolic date, 9/11. The question is also from those that are critiquing what happens in the vacuum.
Well, that's right. Look, there's going to be problems in that country. We've seen movies about it. We've read books about it. We've seen the way women were treated and all the rest. But I have to say, I'm absolutely in favor of pulling those troops out of Afghanistan. Otherwise, we're committed to that forever. So the authorities have to figure out whatever they can do. Maybe stand by the borders. Maybe use drones. Any of those possibilities. But the American forces in Afghanistan are meaning that we really can't do what we need to do in China and other places, as long as they're there. So I suspect that's the way it's going to play out. I think Biden has been forceful. He knows what he wants, and he's going to get it.
The climate. We have Earth Day this week, of course. President Biden holding a big climate summit to reestablish U.S. leadership, says the Washington Post. Not everyone may follow, of course. We mention China regularly and their role in this. They're expected to be a part of it, an area where we may make some ground, and we're running out of time.
We are certainly running out of time. In fact, we may have run out of time. The Chinese understand that their situation is just as bad, if not a lot worse, than the Americans. So for once, there seems to be some spirit of cooperation when it comes to this. Look, they are now one of the world's strongest economies. They got there by ignoring all the conventional rules about what you have to do on climate. And the result is that we have a bad situation in this world, and we know it. You know, it's interesting. We have this Mars, basically, little helicopter that goes around
right.
and looks and sing it. You know, it's not so hard to imagine that if the world keeps doing what it's doing, we're going to end up looking like Mars does, a virtual desert. So we have to do it. Whether we have the guts, whether we have the knowledge to do it is another whole story.
Word comes that President Carter's vice president, champion of
yeah.
civil rights, has died. That's Walter Mondale at the age of 93. Under Carter, says the Washington Post, Walter Mondale turned the office from one of frustration and neglect into one with influence and power. Every vice president since has benefited.
That's exactly right. He didn't want that position, vice president. He took it after Carter basically said, we're going to change the way that we do this. We're going to give you tremendous powers. And he got it. But he wasn't alone. Carter understood how important the vice presidency could be. And he ordered that if the vice president asked for something, he would get it. And he also told everybody that you really have to bring him in on the deal. And as you suggested just a minute ago, Mondale knew that when he saw something, he could say it. And he got involved, heavily involved in the administration. He couldn't be president, but he made a real impact as vice president.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us.